Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
So he was basically in the grave for one reason: disobedience to God and running from God. Even worse than disobedience.
God's still making a way for him.
He is. Absolutely. As Christ went into hell for 3 days and preached to those in paradise who had still had to make a choice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed about me. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And how many times, Christian, do you get into the belly of the whale, or into great financial crisis, or crisis in your marriage, or crisis with your children? Do you wait to that point to cry out to God? We're all guilty of it. You know, if you put all things in moderation and the spirit man takes control, you might not get to the belly of the whale. You know, as soon as things start going awry, and they will, temptation is all around us. Satan has one reason in this world to stumble followers of Christ. As soon as you stumble, if the spirit man's not in control, when you start to get up, you'll stumble even further. Because the word of God is not influencing your actions, because the spirit man is asleep, because you fed him too much fried chicken after church. You might think that sounds funny, but it isn't. What you got, John?
I was about to say, God's best used as a GPS instead of a spare tire.
There you go. That's a good way to look at it. Yes, search him out before you find yourself in the belly of the whale. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depths closed round about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Interesting, he doesn't mention the smell.
Yeah, I've thought about that, like how horrible it had to be.
I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Very, very astute analogy of Christ's descension into hell when he died. But he went there for a purpose: to free the captives, to take the power of death from Satan himself. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. You got my attention, Lord. I'm sorry I ran from you. My flesh was in control. You know, I'd been hanging out at that local kosher deli on the corner, and I just been feeding myself more than I need. You know, that every other day fasting that I had been doing, and back when I was really doing your word and your business, I kind of fell off of that. But I'm back. I haven't eaten in 3 days. Can you live in the belly of a whale? Or was there supernatural preservation?
Was he
dead?
To a degree.
Was he dead for three days?
That's a
lot of speculation on that.
Yeah?
Because how do you live?
Right.
Where's your oxygen at? I mean, that belly's full of
gases
and water.
Water.
Yeah. He should have been decomposed after 3 days.
Yeah.
I personally believe he was dead.
Yeah.
My soul fainted. Right there, yeah. You got it. You nailed it.
Number six, where it says the earth with her bars.
Yeah.
That just made me think of, like, prison. Like,
did he?
Right?
Did his spirit actually go to hell?
Right.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of anything else.
You are dissecting Jonah today there, Jonathan. Absolutely. There's so much between the lines. You got to read it over. If you read this Jonah another 75 times, things will open up to you. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited it out, Jonah, upon the dry land, right in front of the inhabitants of Nineveh. who probably fell to their knees. Dagon is real.
They're probably doing a sunrise worship of Dagon or something.
Go get the king. He's got to see this. Chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Joah the second time, saying, let's see what he does this time. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. Okay, so maybe the inhabitants of Nineveh did not actually see it, but many did, and the word spread. This man came out of the belly of a fish.
Yeah.
Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. The fish man said, in 40 days the city's going to be destroyed. Shall we run away or return to God? You remember when we used to worship God? Mm-hmm. Things were so good.
It's weird. I remember as a kid when the president would get on TV and say, we all need to pray.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, you do not see that these days.
No. Donald Trump is getting there.
Right.
From the greatest of them, even to the least of them, a citywide revival. Wow. Wouldn't it be cool to have a nationwide revival one more time?
Yes.
For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, which is this essence of complete humility. You know, you can have no pride and go and talk to God. You can have no pride and approach God. This was the king of Nineveh. Threw off his royal robes, put on sackcloth, which is basically an old potato sack. Covered his face with ashes and sat in the dirt. He was afraid. And he's asking God for mercy. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Wow. Even the animals are going to fast. We're going to have some serious spiritual encouragement in all of these people. The spirit men are going to wake back up. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every once. It's the only reference in the Bible where they covered the beast with sackcloth also. This is, we're done. We got one shot at this.
Yeah.
Even put sackcloth on the donkeys.
It's like when you treat your house for bed bugs, you do everything.
Yes.
Make sure there's nothing missed.
Do we have plenty of ashes? Burn more. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. This must have been Chicago times 10.
Mm-hmm.
Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. And we see that over and over and over again. The prophet comes in and says, you guys are done. God's done with you. Gonna wipe you out. Oh, please, Lord, please. They repent. And God forestalls that judgment. It is never too late to your dying breath. Citizen that does not believe in God or knows, believes in God. Satan believes in God too. She doesn't follow him. You have to follow him with all your heart, or as much of your heart as you can muster. And once you muster a little bit, he will help you with the Holy Spirit. And you'll get a little bit more, a little stronger and stronger, unless you put your spirit man to sleep with excesses in life. You got to keep all things in moderation. Chapter 4, Book of Jonah, Between the Lines with Jonathan and David on WBFF 97.7. But we're going to see here some of Jonah's faults, unforgiveness and anger, which cannot coexist in the Christian's life at this time in the prophet's life. The prophet is the mouthpiece of God. If God says it, his fortitude should be the same. You know, it's like a president having a cabinet member that disagrees with him. Yeah, we're going to do this, but I really think the president's crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Fire him.
It'd be like me putting heavy metal on your radio
station. Oh, yes.
What is this?
But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. God told me to come here and tell him I'm going to wipe him out. Now he's changed his mind.
Yeah.
I look like a retard.
I was so looking forward to seeing them wiped out.
Yeah, these are evil men. They need to be judged. Says the man who ran from God and died in the belly of the whale. And God showed mercy on him. Do we forget, Christian, the mercies God shows in our lives when we judge our fellow man? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do this thing, you have completed the law. I know, but we like the law. You know, Christ, he made his sacrifice. Just wasn't enough. We got to hold on to a little piece of the law, don't we, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It makes us feel holy to not do anything but watch TV on Sunday. You know? Yeah, sure, the neighbor's house is on fire, but it's Sunday. Yes, and I have that big giant pump in my backyard hooked to my pond, but it's Sunday. Man, if it were only Saturday, that's the real Sabbath.
You guys think it'll be all right until tomorrow?
Yeah. The absurdity of religion. God hates religion. Religion ends in bondage and death. Like the time the Israelites called for the golden box thingy.
Yeah. Yeah, we heard that thing, you know, destroyed armies.
Yes. All we got to do is put it in front of our army. That thing will protect us.
Yep.
Yes.
It will save us.
They were talking about the ark. They used to be brought out in front of the army because God was going forward ahead of them. But they had totally forgotten who God was. But they remember the golden box thingy. Let's bring it. It'll fix. It'll help us. Let's get religion. Religion will save us. Religion will send you to hell and bondage. You must have a relationship with God. You must serve God with all your heart, or as much as you can muster on a daily basis. Get up in the morning and be the best person that you can possibly be. And when you fail, you believe in Christ. He will make the handicap up that day. And tomorrow you get up and be the best person that you can be, hopefully a point better than you were yesterday. So Jonah's all upset. God's not following through with his destruction of Nineveh. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? Did I not tell them that you were going to wipe them out? When I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and a great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Oh, he's trying to put a guilt trip on God. Why did, you know, I, when you told me to go and tell Nineveh this, I knew you were merciful, figured you might do something like this, so I was just going to go off and take a vacation. But now look what you're doing. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live, because my prophecy is not coming true. My words mean nothing. And said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Question, not a statement. Why are you angry?
Give them a second to reflect.
Yeah. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in a shadow till he might see what would become of the city. He's just waiting there, maybe hoping God follows through, changes his mind again. I want to see that brimstone rain down. I always heard about that Sodom and Gomorrah place. I thought that was probably a pretty good fireworks show. I'd like to see that myself. The Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head. That was a very quickly growing gourd. They do grow quick, but this one grew overnight. To deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day and it smote the gourd, had it withered. So a giant gourd grows. Jonah's happy. Oh, yeah, I got some shade. The next day the worm ate it all. Now he's upset. It came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted and wished himself to die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Sound like Elijah. Why, God? I know 2 days ago I was the prophet of all prophets, doing your will and your word, killed all 400 of them prophets of Baal, called down fire from heaven, but oh, I'm tired, and I want to die. And that's a big thing. Physical exhaustion will drag the spirit man down. Unless you have kept things in such moderation that the spirit man keeps control. Because I guarantee you, when Christ had fasted 40 days, his flesh was absolutely exhausted. I've done 25, and in 25, your limbs feel like noodles. But the spirit man was kept absolutely in control. I do well to be angry, even unto death. Oh, I'm going to take my anger to the grave. Big no-no. Don't do it.
I wonder if that was... I know the Lord asked him a couple of verses back about, do you do well to be angry?
Yeah.
If this was his response to that question. Because he says, I do well to be angry.
I do well to be angry. Yeah. Even after God is putting him through some turmoil here. And said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which has not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city? Ha! Jonah felt bad when the gourd was eaten by the worm. Huh. Oh, got a little lesson there.
Neat. That's neat.
Yeah.
It's the first time that unfolded to me that way.
You pitied the gourd, Jonah, and all it, you know, you didn't have anything to do with it. It just kind of grew overnight magically. Oh, why'd that beautiful gourd get eaten by the worm? That's so sad. Smash that worm! And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? There are 6,000 souls in that city that are absolutely spiritually ignorant. Should I just wipe them out and condemn them to hell? Or is it in my mercy, because they have asked for mercy, to give them a little more time to figure it out? That seed that I planted in them, Christian, the seed that I planted in you, heathen. And heathen just means you don't know God. Oh, that's a bad word. You Christians call other people heathens. I mean, that's just downright wrong. God here saying, he's calling them poor souls, not calling them heathens. 60,000 that cannot discern between their right hand or their left. Or even the cattle. He's saying these people are absolutely spiritually ignorant. And I'm going to give them another chance. Thank you, God, for the mercy and the chances you've given me over the years. Because as I've said many times, my sins are worse than yours. Because I know this book inside and out. And I still disobey. To my own amazement sometimes.
We all do.
Yeah. Except for that one Christian. Oh, I'm right there with God all the time.
Yeah.
Except for that time when you were lying.
Yeah, about being right there with God.
Yes,
all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no more pride.
Yeah.
I will serve the Lord thy God with all the might that I have every day and try to do better tomorrow. That's all I can do. That's all he asks you to do, Christian.
The best of your ability.
That's yes. But you got to keep things in moderation. Oh, well, fried chicken ain't bad. That's not drugs. It's a gateway drug to spiritual sleep. Feed this body more than it needs, and you know for yourself. You become lazy carnally, and you become lazy spiritually, and it leads to other things in excess. And before long, you have so much baggage dragging behind you. God says, go here or go there. You can't even get there in time because you're dragging baggage behind you. There's mercy and salvation in God's love for the spiritually ignorant or heathen, whichever way you want to say it.
Grace and mercy came by Jesus Christ.
That's right. For all.
Yep.
Yes. Not for God's chosen people.
Yep.
They were chosen for a purpose, to bring about the line of the Messiah, the pure line that did not have the seed of the serpent in it. Had Christ's carnal line, and it was from Joseph and Mary, that was not the seed of the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit taking Joseph's seed and placing it in Mary without the carnal act, the sinful act, that God never meant for the Adamic line to procreate. Oh, wow. I tell you, I'd read nearly 100 times before I figured that one out. It was Mary and the Holy Spirit. No, it was the body of Joseph. And every time I read through the lineage of Jesus, why does it come to Joseph? The Holy Spirit was father. No. The Holy Spirit took the seed of Joseph's body because it had to be of the line of David. Ponder that one today and read your Bible. Been good to be here with you on WBFF 97.7 Between the Lines with Jonathan and David. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.